Blog Talk Radio.
Titanium Satellite. Welcome to Satellite Nation.
Tonight on Satellite Nation, we have a very special guest. We have Joe Mingachea. He is the Executive Vice President for Channel Master. And he brings a lot of knowledge into industry, and he's been worked with a lot of companies over the years. Communications, EchoStar. And he really... somebody really brings in a lot of knowledge, so we're really pleased to have him tonight. And, you know, Channel Master, who he works for now, is well-known name for its very, you know, fantastic antennas and all that, and the DVR pluses, all that, and the over-the-air DVRs and the no fees and all that good stuff. So.
Oh, definitely. They are industry leaders when it comes to that. I truly think that what makes them the leader in the product, of course, is the availability of electronic program guide. Without a program guide, I think that the whole over-the-air experience is nobody sits and waits for a show to come on anymore. So. Now, to get ready for the show, or if you want to kind of look at the Channel Master current product lineup, you can visit www.channelmaster.com. They're offering, and get ready to call in and ask questions of Joe. Now, get ready to call in for our live show on March 11th, 2015, and let's talk about Channel Master. Let's talk about your electronic projects and other technology that's on your mind. Toll free. 877-SAT-GUYS. That's 877-728-4897. International and unlimited calling plan listeners, you can call 347-327-9319.
And as always, if you happen to miss an episode of Satellite Nation, head on over to satelliteguys.us. Go down to the radio forums and you'll find the heading there for a show archives for Satellite Nation. You'll find everyone from this season. So go right there, click on it, and listen to any of them and all of them. Also, don't forget to head on over to Facebook, facebook.com, Satellite Nation Radio, and like us and give us your comments, anything like that. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at SatNat Radio.
Very good. We definitely want to hear some feedback and suggestions because we're going to be entering into season two here very shortly. So definitely we want to know what you want to talk about. I want to give a special thanks to Scott Krakowski over at SatelliteGuys.us. And, of course, a great forum if you're into technology, whether it be over the air, free to air, telephones, dish network, DirecTV, whatever technology you're into, check out the SatelliteGuys.us forums. And also, for putting us up on Satellite Guys Radio. Now, Satellite Guys Radio, you can hear that on what, iTunes and Blog Talk, Roku. So, by all means, take a listen sometime to Satellite Guys Radio. Want to give a special thanks to Dave over at Got C-Band. Now, Dave provides his time And right now, he's putting this up on Galaxy 19 satellite. Imagine that, Satellite Nation on satellite. So thank you, Dave. Now, I've been listening to Satellite Guys Radio on Galaxy 19 for the past week. Have you been listening to that, Dave? Or to that, Michael?
Yeah, I've been listening to it over there. It's pretty good. It's pretty neat to have it up on the satellite.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Now, I want to just let those guys know that do have a Galaxy 19 KU band set up. You can listen to that on 12115 vertical 22425. So, yeah, give a listen. And I don't know how long it's going to be up there. And let's ask Dave after his news segment. Maybe we can find out a little bit more. I know it's really expensive time, and we really thank him for putting this up there. And just want to thank you, Michael, for your support of the show. And visit nc-electronics.com.
Let's not forget your store, Brian. I don't have it, maybe Brian will have it. Over at titaniumsatellite.com.
Now, these businesses help pay the bills and put Satellite Nation on each week, so visit our websites. Now, before we get into the news segment, I know there's a lot of talk and a lot of people working on the Raspberry Pi open source satellite project. So I know that we are going to be talking about that quite a bit this next season as we work on putting together a completely open source based on either a Raspberry Pi or maybe an ITX platform. So I'm really looking forward to that next season.
Oh, yeah, sure are. We'll probably end season two here probably next week. It'll be the season finale, however you want to say that, and we will take a little. But, I've been getting all kinds of little more doodads and parts and stuff and doing all kinds of stuff with actually both Raspberries and then putting Arduino in with it. So
very cool.
All kinds of playing with it.
Yeah, I've gotten a 7-inch touch screen because I envision my system as being a spectrum display that I can just touch on to tune channels. And so looking forward to update Lee getting back from his deployment up in the Canadian forces there and recompiling for the new Raspberry Pi 2. So that should be an interesting project.
Yeah, should be. I'm looking forward to the same thing. I can't wait until he gets that done.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and listen to the news by Dave.
This is Dave, and I've got the news for March 11th, 2000. So, everybody, let's get right into it. Apple had the mega press conference this week. And they did two things. Well, they did more than two things, but the two things that I care about is one, they announced an exclusive partnership with HBO for the new HBO Now service, which is going to be the over-the-top or streaming HBO service for $14.99 per month that you'll be able to watch on your Apple TV. A lot of people are upset about that. Why they chose the Apple TV? I'm not really exactly sure. We're giving them an exclusive. Nothing wrong with going on Apple TV, but why not the Roku? It seems like everybody's got that. It seems like that's best of breed for streaming device. But they chose not to. So I went around looking, and I was shocked to see this. I didn't check out the cable companies, but I went to the two lords and DirecTV. And believe it or not, DirecTV is lower in Dish Network. And Dish Network has themselves as being the low price leader. Well, let me tell you, Dish Network's HBO package is $19 per month. DirecTV's HBO package is $18 per month. Yeah. DirecTV is a dollar cheaper than Dish Network. Interesting. But what's crazy is that both of those packages are way more than the $14.99 that HBO is doing a la carte. So does that mean HBO saying, hey, traditional distributors, your price is too high? We're going direct to consumer for $14.99. You know, you're going to be good to see this HBO. Hopefully more stuff comes out like this. And, you know, maybe that's how this new a la carte model will work is, you know, you're just buying directly from the... You might pay a little bit more, but in this case, you're not. But I think in some cases, you probably will. But this one, you're not. And we'll just have to wait and see the quality. We'll see how it plays out. So also at this press conference, I don't know if anybody else is disappointed like I am, but they came out with the Apple Watch. And I thought Apple was going to do something crazy cool with the watch. And, I mean, it looks cool and all that. But, you know, the one thing they didn't do that I was really hoping that the Apple Watch would have is that it would be its own device that you could add to the cellular network. So you don't have your phone, but you do have your Apple Watch on, and you're able to receive text messages, maybe not send them, but you can still get a text message. Maybe you could make a call. I mean, it's got a speaker and a microphone. Why not be able to make calls and not have to have a phone that it, I'm going to use the word tethers to via Bluetooth to Wi-Fi, but I don't really, you know, Wi-Fi is great, but there's a lot of places that don't have Wi-Fi. And I would just love to see a device that would actually add to a cellular network. I know the cellular carriers would love that because that would have been a little bit more revenue for them per month for the additional device charge. But, you know, a little disappointed. Looks cool. I'm definitely not paying $350 for one. But, you know, hey, if I could have got one from AT&T for free for just signing a two-year contract and paying the iWatch or whatever they're calling it, $10 a month fee, I probably would have done that. So speaking of the subject of DirecTV, it looks like if you have DirecTV, you've got three new high-definition channels. That's WeTV on channel 260, Sundance channel on 557, and BBC World at 346. I know that one will probably be quite popular there. The BBC World, channel 346. Check it out if you've got DirecTV. Been following the Sling TV launch pretty closely, and Recode last week, or on the 5th of March, came out with a article that says that they say that Sling signed up at least 100,000 people in their first month. Whoa. Props to Dish. Yeah, there's a lot of talk about this on the forum here about whether those numbers are skewed by saying, are those the people on the free trial in there or not? How many people are going to disconnect after the trial? And then there's also talk about what happens if Sling's too successful. Somebody mentioned on there that, and I don't know the accuracy of this, that if on the Turner channels, that if Sling TV goes over 5 million subscribers, that then Turner has the right to either drop them or renegotiate. I'm wondering here now, if Sling TV is too successful, will that mean that it could be the death of Sling TV before it even gets off and going or not? I don't think that would happen. I would hope that wouldn't happen, but I don't know. Now, you notice that if you go and look at all the different forums and people talking about Sling TV, you will see posts from people that say, hey, I haven't had cable at all. And now I do with the Sling TV, so maybe they are hitting the demographic market they want, and we'll just have to see. They've been adding all kinds of channels, so if you haven't tried it out, I'd tell you to go try the trial. It's pretty cool. You know, it's not like a traditional linear TV package that, you know, has a couple hundred channels that you only watch like four or five of, but this one's got a premium selection of channels. It still doesn't have Discovery and History, Sling TV, but, you know, maybe one day they'll get it. Anyways, check it out. 100 at the Dish. Hey, if you're in the Austin, Texas area, this coming Sunday, March 15th, at the SXSW, DirecTV is going to be there with entertainment and technology, demos, drinks, and some DJ. They're going to be in the UKA Lounge at 411 West Monroe in Austin, Texas. I guess they're going to have a day pass from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and they're going to party from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. And apparently it's some music, film, and interactive something or another. I've never heard of this, and looks kind of cool. So if you're down there, you might want to check that out. Also coming up next week, Satellite 2015 in Washington, D.C. I'll be there on Wednesday and Thursday. So if you're going to be there, hit me up on Satellite Guys at Wally HTS, and maybe we can hang out. Hey, about next week.
Well, all righty, Dave. Welcome to the show, Dave. Thank you for that great report.
Thank you. How's it going tonight, gentlemen?
It is going great. Hey, SXSW actually is South by Southwest. It's a very successful music festival that probably used to be hip and cool, but I'm not sure how hip and cool it is anymore when DirecTV starts sponsoring.
Well, I got an invite to something there, and I was like, well, I guess if anybody's down there, I might want to, so, you know, that's why I threw that in there.
Well, I was just mentioning that because it seems like a lot of corporations are getting involved with things like Burning Man and music festivals to kind of tie into that hip and cool, we're happening culture. And I'm not really sure they always hit. I'm not really sure if that's a success for them or not.
I think they're just trying to bring in the, you know, the young boys and all this stuff. Hey, let's get them interested in this and bring them in. Maybe they'll, yeah. Won't be that way. They'll subscribe to something from us.
Yeah. Hey, very interesting information about the Sling TV, 100,000. So what's your feeling? Are these cord nevers, or are these the people that just were tire kickers and they're going to disappear as soon as their freebie is over?
My gut feeling is I'd say half are tire kickers and half are millennials. Exactly the way I feel about it.
So you think these numbers, we're probably looking at half of this number going to stick around, or is this something, it's new and shiny and everybody's going to go for it and then it just kind of dwindles? What's your gut feeling?
I think it's going to stick around. I mean, at that price point of $20 to get ESPN, and that's, you know, what quite a few people, you know, watch that don't normally watch TV. When they do watch TV, they usually watch the games on ESPN, so...
Right.
You know, that's,
and I think that's
going to
really,
city.
Yeah, I think it really ties into who we're going to talk to in just a few minutes here, Joe over at Channel Master. You know, a product like theirs, along with some of these a la carte channels that are popular, you know, I think this is definitely a wave that supports people going a la carte, no doubt.
Absolutely. Now, is that the Joe that used to work at EchoStar, if I remember correctly?
Yes, Joe Bingochea. So we'll keep you on here if you want to join in our conversation here in just a moment. The final thing is this Apple press conference. You know, I pride myself on kind of knowing kind of in advance, kind of having a gut feeling where things are going to be headed. But, you know, what's happened to my Apple stock in the past week?
Well, that may be true, yes.
Well, you know, I have a gut feeling because I gave up a watch on my wrist years ago, and I don't know if I want to put a watch back on my wrist.
I'm the same way. I don't know. I don't want one that tethers to my phone, but if it was actually linked to the cellular network, so I wouldn't have to have my phone, and I could just have the watch and still get text messages and make calls, it would be a no-brainer. I'd get one in a heartbeat.
Right. Less features, but more connectivity.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. Hey, we're looking forward to you being at Satellite 2015. Are you going to come back with some interviews with us from the floor?
I'll try. I'm going to be on the floor all day on Wednesday, and we will see what happens. I've never been there before, and so just want to see what's going on there.
Excellent.
See all
so,
the expensive toys I can't afford.
Just a shout out for everybody listening. If they want to, can they get a hold of you, Joe? Or I'm sorry, Dave.
Just hit me up on Satellite Guys. PM me, Wally HTS.
Excellent. So if you are going to be at the Satellite Show 2015 and you want to meet up with Dave there, Just give him a PM over or a conversation over at Satellite Guys. Wally Heights is his username. So, hey, thanks for another great news segment, Dave. And we really appreciate your support of our show and giving a great news segment, keeping us in touch.
Absolutely. And I think I will hang on because I have two questions for Joe when you guys get to the questions with Joe.
All righty. Well, very good. So coming on now, bringing up Joe Bingochea, Executive Vice President at Channel Master. Welcome to Satellite Nation, Joe.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on the show. Glad to be here.
Well, first of all, I just really want to Channel Master's commitment to OTA. That is the primary focus of your company. And I just really want to say thanks for going into that 100%.
Hey, absolutely. That's we're committed. We know there's a big market out there. Even before the cord cutting talk started to happen, we went through the digital transition in 2009, and with all the set-top box or the coupons for set-top boxes that were released, we're like, wow, there's a really good market here. And these people already existed even before all the talk of cord cutters. So we looked at that and we said, well, let's get behind this market. It's going to grow with cord cutting, and let's see what we can do here.
What do you think the main challenge right now for educating people that there's something beyond subscriptions? Do you think that's already happening?
I think it's already happening. You're seeing a lot more devices. People are they're seeing the consumer electronics out there on the shelf, the Rokus and the Amazon Sticks and all these devices that are out there. So they're seeing it and they know it's available, that they can get TV and content and media different ways. But the problem is they don't really understand what to do or how to do it. So there's people like us that actually we've got support people here, and we're trying to make it a little bit more mainstream and let people know what their options are and how they can do it. And that's been pretty good for us. Like I said, with the other devices out there, all these devices are video-on-demand devices typically, not so much linear streaming channels, or you talk about things like the Super Bowl or the World Series or live local news. A lot of those devices can't get that. And so what OTA broadcasts do is it gives these people that went out and tried to cut the cord with some of these other devices,
right,
they can pick up an antenna and they'll get those shows that they wouldn't get on those devices.
Now, what I find very interesting is as we move forward that the streaming services, they're not on. And before the show, you and I were talking a little bit about, how I personally kind of see the success. And I think you mirrored that in that there is this community experience that occurs when you have a live newscast, a live news show that happens when everybody kind of sits down and sees an event, whether it be Super Bowl, whether it be the Grammys, whatever it might be. Is this something that you think is the strength of over the air? That how do you see that playing out?
Exactly, I just don't see that stuff going away. You take your live local news. People want to know what's happening in the community, and so that's the people tune in to see that every day. There's things like the finale of American Idol. People watch the show all season, which you can't get on VOD, not that I'm aware of, and then all that anticipation builds up for that last show, and that's when everybody tunes in. That's where the big advertising budgets come in. There's too big of a business around that. I just don't see it going away. People like
right.
to sit down. The whole family gets in front of that, and it would be different to watch a finale that was pre-scheduled. That was recorded, and you just jumped in to watch it. It's nice watching it live.
Yeah, and there's something about you actually knowing, that it's happening now and it's not something around the water cooler. Well, I didn't get to watch it because it's not on my stream yet.
Exactly.
Well, Michael, you have a couple questions there?
Joe, how did you get
into Michael?
This over the years? Whoa.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that question. You're breaking up a little bit. I'm sorry?
Yeah. Michael was just asking how you got into business. I know you've been with quite a few different companies through the years, and as as David just pointed out, he knew you from EchoStar.
Yeah, it's been I've been in this business my whole life, and it actually started when I was actually a teenager. My parents actually went out and bought a C-band satellite dish, and we lived outside the metropolitan area. And they, when things broke, servo motors broke or actuator arm broke, somebody had to fix it, and I was the tech genius of the house, so they sent me out there to learn how to repair and fix those things, so our TV got back going. So that's kind of where it all started, and I just kind of took that, and I liked it, I enjoyed it, and I ran with it.
So, yeah, you got into it because you enjoyed it, and you didn't sometimes you get into a position from different things. This time was a passion of yours, so that's pretty cool. So,
absolutely. It's not work if you love doing it.
Right. It's more fun than work. Now, yourself, do you have a over-the-air set up yourself at your own personal house?
I do. So, as you mentioned, I had previously worked for EchoStar before, and I had the whole dish package. I was paying $150 for the dish package, and when we decided to jump in the over-the-air business and really commit to what we thought cord cutters were going to be doing in the years to come, I said, hey, if we're going to preach this, we actually have to get behind it and do it ourselves. So I cut the cord about 3 years ago. It wasn't an easy thing to convince the wife to do, but we've been off it now for 3 years, and neither one of us looked back. I think it's something that once you've done it, it's easy to accept.
Now, because you've kind of been in the shoes of the customers that you're reaching out to, as we talk about cutting the cord, what is the first step that somebody needs to do when, can I get rid of a subscription service and just rely on over-the-air channels and OTT things like Netflix and Prime? What's that transition?
So it really all depends. There's a product for everyone out there, and I will say cord cutting may not be for everybody. There's going to be people out there that want the list of 200 channels, which 75 or 80% of them they don't watch. But they'll want that. They'll want to pay for that in the convenience. So I'll start off by saying cord cutting is not for everybody. But there's a lot of people. There's 18 million people in the U.S. and growing that use over-the-air TV. So put up an antenna and get your local broadcast for free. So that's a start. But what we're seeing is from the cord cutter side of it, it's happening the other way. People are actually canceling their service because of the popularity of devices like Roku and Amazon and these devices that are out, Apple TV. And so they're canceling their service to go with a streaming device. And then once they get that streaming device in their house, they realize, shoot, I can't watch the finale of American Idol. Or how am I going to watch the Super Bowl? And so that's when they call us and say, hey, I looked you up online. I see that you guys have some type of antenna that does this. And that's when we get engaged and explain to them how they can get some of these live programs. So it happens both ways. So you got the antenna user that's looking to augment with streaming services, and we can help them there. And then we've got the customer that has cut the cord for streaming services, and now they need to augment with over-the-air. So in the bigger market out there, the lower-hanging fruit for us, because we're really in the market to sell an over-the-air DVR, is the people that already have an antenna. So because we want to get that our DVR in their hands. But that's not to say we can't help the people that are streaming people, because we also are a 65-year-old manufacturer TV antenna. So we got them both nailed down pretty good.
Okay, we lost a connection for just a second on Skype. You said you're 65 and then you broke up. What?
So we're a 65-year-old antenna manufacturer.
Right. Okay.
And so
you started in 1949, and now where's your headquarters and what kind of staff do you have?
So we're based in Gilbert, Arizona, which is right outside the Phoenix metro area. And here in Phoenix, we have all of our marketing, salespeople, our business people, and most importantly, the product development people. So this is where the brains behind DVR Plus and what we're doing with our antennas. It all comes out of here, and then we do contract manufacturing in some cases, and then we've got our own factories in some cases where we build some of our own products as well.
Now, what is your primary product at this time?
At this time, our primary product is the DVR Plus. So that,
now
that's
you
the
have
flagship of the company.
Now, you have the DVR Plus. This is not just a standard over set-top box. Tell us about what makes the DVR Plus product different than other things that you might see on eBay that's a over-the-air receiver box.
Absolutely. So the first and foremost thing I'll say about the DVR Plus, it's built on a solid, solid piece of hardware. So it's really robust. But the biggest thing that we see that the people love is the ability to have an on-screen guide. So you press the guide button, and boom, guide pops up. And if our box will work whether you're connected to the Internet or not. If you're not connected to the Internet, the user will get 2 days of guide data that's broadcast over the air by the broadcaster, which it comes with what they call PSIP data.
Right.
Or if you're connected to the Internet, we've got a partnership with Rovi, who delivers the listings, the guide listings to a lot of the service providers out there. We've got a deal with them where we provide 14 days of guide data when you're connected to the Internet. So it makes for a good experience. So that's the guide data, along with solid hardware, a tremendous software platform that now integrates streaming service as well. We've got Vudu, we've got YouTube, and we've got Pandora on there. And we're not stopping there. We've got other ambitions to get some of the other popular ones out there.
So yours is not just a over-the-air device. You can hook it up to the Internet for the guide data and for the over-the-top application. So that's a nice device to have sitting connected up to your TV that really widens the viewing experience. When you are, you know, I know that in the history of over-the-air, there's been a lot of challenges with multipath, and I know that your antennas are the number one thing that you need to make sure that you have an antenna positioned so you can get the signals, get the channels that you want, but then they have the devices. Can you address some of your design that you've done to make sure that when these products get out to people's homes that, you know, they will have a successful experience? It isn't just hardware, but you also mentioned support.
Absolutely. So we, before we launched the product, we launched the product at CES in 2014, so a little over a year ago. We launched it. Before we launched it, we went out to several hundred beta testers with the unit in the U.S. and in Canada to test all of the different things. It's got two tuners in it, so we wanted to test the recording capabilities. We wanted to test the stability of the tuners. And so with a large sample set like that, we've got some really good feedback on how to improve the tuners for that large sample base and knew that it was going to be pretty robust for the majority of the market that we were trying to hit. And you got to remember, we sell the box in all 210 DMAs in the U.S., so it's not an easy task because, you know, just like you mentioned, OTA signals sometimes can be hard to receive. So our goal is to make sure it's going to work in 99% of scenarios. And so far, if you look at our reviews on Amazon, I think we're 4.5 reviews on Amazon. We got over 500 reviews on our website, which is 4.5 stars. So the proof of the pudding here, the consumers, our customers are actually talking really good about the product. So that's where really we feel confident that the tuner's doing its job and the software and the hardware is doing its job as well. I can say from a support standpoint, from a quality standpoint, one thing we do here is we really pride ourselves with quality. So that hence the beta test. Before we even showed the product to one person, we had it to beta test as long before that because we want to put out the best products out there because we don't want to deal with all the support and the complaints from customers. We want to go out of the gate and have a top-notch product.
Now, you're talking about, you know, development. So you get feedback from your customers, and then you – so I understand that something is going to be happening very soon at the upcoming NAB show. What do you have happening there?
Correct. So since we launched in 2014, we've had, I believe, around 6 or 7 software updates where we basically introduced new services and new features. So we launched only with Vudu. In 2014. Since then, we've added Pandora, we've added YouTube. Our customers really asked for Series Record, which we didn't have at launch. Around November, October of 2014, we added Series Record for our customers. So to your point, we do listen and take feedback from our customers. And we're trying to do the things that are we get the most requests for. And one of the big requests that we've been getting is for more content. And so we announced it briefly at CES that we're gonna launch a new platform. And in April at NAB, we're going to be launching, and we'll be deploying it to customers then, a new service that customers will sign up for, anybody that owns a DVR Plus, and we will transmit to them, or we will provide to them OTT streaming, linear streams. So we've had several channels now that are that we've been talking to and in the package that free of charge we will deploy them to all of our deployed customers. So and the way this
Very
works, similar to the way SimTV works, is basically you just go to the channel, select it, and boom, it starts streaming a linear feed.
Very, very good. Very good. Now, I really must say the whole series record, that was one thing that kind of kept me tied to my, I used a PC with the Windows Media Center. And, you know, beside the EPG, I must say that the thing that kept me tied to a PC for my home theater PC was the whole series. You go in there and have to set a reoccurring and filter through whether it's a rerun or not. So I must give you total kudos for incorporating that. That's a wonderful thing when it comes down to DVR, definitely. Yeah, Dave, you had mentioned earlier that you had some questions. What do you have over there, Dave?
Sorry about that. Hey, Joe, how you doing? I had two questions for you. So one, what are the odds maybe being able to log into Sling TV on that?
I knew that question was coming. So as you can probably see, if you've been to our website, and I encourage you, everyone, all the listeners, to go to our website and check out all of our products. But if you've been to our website, you see that we've already partnered with Slingbox, which is basically the same sister company. They developed that box that transcodes and gives you the ability to TV everywhere. So we got a partnership with them today. So with that relationship already going on, we're definitely in hopes that we will be able to pull the trigger and put something there. So it's definitely on the roadmap.
Good.
That,
and then
that is excellent. And if I could, Dave, I was just going to mention, in my home, Slingbox is a big thing for bringing stuff over from my office on a C-band dish. And so that's another thing that I think is really great that you have built into your boxes is the support for the Slingbox 500. So adding Sling TV on top of that is going to be an awesome all-in-one device.
Correct, yes. So there's other devices on the market today that do what the Slingbox do and have the DVR and sooner built into them that are basically our competitors. But there's one thing we haven't talked about yet here on the show, and what sets us apart from all of our competition, there's one thing, besides the fact that our product's better, is the fact that we do not charge a subscription fee. If you look at I'll name names, TiVo, there's the Simple TV, there's a Tablo. There's one thing that all those devices do that they do to the consumers in order to have them work, and that is they charge a subscription fee. You can buy our device, you can connect it to the internet, and get 14 days of guide data, get access to all the streaming services with no subscription fee.
Definitely. That's and in these other cases, maybe one of you guys can comment on it. I don't subscribe to any of the EPG services, but what is the cost of getting EPG on these other devices?
So, Dave, do you want to go there, or do you want me to – do you know those?
I think it's, $15 on TiVo?
Absolutely, yep.
TiVo.
$15 on TiVo, and then I think you got $5 and $7 on some of the other devices. So when you look at those prices, and this is why we chose to go subscription-free, is now you're talking, I heard you guys earlier on the show talking about HBO as a streaming service, and now we've got Sling TV. So add those up. Add Netflix, add Sling TV, add HBO Go. With all of those fees and then $15 a month for a DVR, you're back, you might as well subscribe to cable.
Right.
So we felt it to be very important
not just charge the consumer for the at least the DVR functionality and the guide data. Because we knew they were going to have to pay for some of these streaming services. Nobody's going to give their content away for free. Well, some people will, but not the premium guys like HBO and those ones.
Right, right. So, yeah, definitely. So when you're looking at those prices, I notice that you do offer the DVR Plus in two configurations, what, with hard drive and without. Just remember, you do not have a monthly fee to provide the one thing that makes these boxes work. Otherwise, what's a DVR if you have to manually start and stop timers? It's a flashing 12
o'clock. Correct.
What else you got there, Dave?
Oh, I just wanted to comment one thing. I have this, and I bought it right after I talked to Joe at CES on 2014. And it's a nice box. It's awesome. And I got impressed with how good the quality is. I think it's called the HDX on the Vudu stream. It looks really good. But I got to ask you this, Joe. You teased me before. And any way you could put an Easter egg in for us geeks, maybe where we could type in a code and put in manual streams from our in-house devices maybe to watch on this?
So Easter's a little bit far away, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to give an Easter egg. But maybe I'll give you a four-leaf clover for St. Patrick's Day. How's that? So,
yeah, fair enough.
So what's on the roadmap? Is we're following the cable TV provider. The only thing different is we know people want the functionality and the services cable TV and satellite provide without the fees. So, I mean, you see that they're going to the direction of TV everywhere. We're looking at that. We have Sling TV, and we're looking at furthering that solution. Another big one is Whole Home DVR. So we're looking at that on the roadmap. We're looking at what we can do because people buy the DVR Plus for one room. Now how are they going to get in the other rooms of the house? So those are some of the things we're looking at. We're following their roadmap, basically. What they've got millions and millions of subscribers that they use these services. So, I mean, if they've got them, then it obviously must be a good product. So we're trying to model that same thing, but in a subscription-free model for the customer, if you will.
Very good. Okay, well, thank you, Dave, for those questions. I notice that we do have Scott Grakowski. Scott is the owner of Satellite Guys. And question there for Joe.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Scott.
Doing great. Thank you.
Hey, Joe, I've got a DTV Pal DVR, which you guys rebranded as something else. And it's been working really well, but I'm looking for a over-the-air type DVR that has two tuners in it because my wife likes watching CBS and NBC. You guys have any plans on releasing a two tuner device?
We do. Actually, the DVR Plus has two tuners in it.
Does it? Okay.
The DVR Plus has two tuners, so you can watch one program while recording another, record two programs at the same time while watching one of them, or this is the even cooler part, you can record two programs at the same time while watching a streaming service. So it's pretty neat.
I think I'm getting an upgrade.
the 7000 PAL, which we also launched, it's a great product. I mean, this is the next evolution of that. And actually, my preference, so I own both devices, and not just because this one is newer, but it's definitely in my opinion, is a much better product. We have two versions. We have one.
I do have a question. How does the tuners work on sub-channels? Are you limited to just recording one service off of does it record? Okay.
So there's reasons for that, because there's other devices on the market that let you do that. But you got to remember, the market that we're going after, it's not all of us that are on the phone today, the techies, right? This product is going to go into grandma's house and people that don't understand. So trying to make a UI or user interface that does all of that and does it seamlessly, it can be challenging. So we're taking it step by step. And first and foremost, we want to make the product easy to use.
Right. And, you know, yes, that is the geek in me speaking. So
yeah,
I fully understand.
But, But I have the same question. There's a bunch of things I'd like it to do, but it, in practicality for most people, they would never understand how to use it.
Right. Why does it record these three channels but not those three? I definitely get it. I would hate to be a customer service representative trying to explain to my grandmother why certain channels can be recorded and others can't. That would be an impossibility.
Exactly. So we just try to avoid that in most cases. But we do try to put in things that we try to make all the whole market satisfied, from techies all the way to grandma. We if you're the least, I shouldn't say grandma, but the least techy people, because there's some grandmas out there that are techy. But to the least techy person, to the most technical person, is we try to get something in there for everybody.
Okay, I'm going to play a quick for those of you listening.
Phone lines are now open for Satellite Nation. Call us at 877-SAT-GUYS or 877-728-4897.
So if you're listening this evening and you have a question for Joe Bingachea over the Executive Vice President at Channel Master, if you have any questions, give us a call. We'd be more than glad to take your call. So what other products do you have? I know we talked about the over-the-air antennas. We've talked about your DVR, but I know that you offer installation supplies as well, and you partner with quite a few main companies that put your product in front of your customers.
Correct. We do everything from the antenna on the roof or indoor all the way to the back of the set-top box. So whether you need a splitter, a cable, an amplifier, we have the highest quality. Actually, some of our products are the same products that are used in service provider operations. So we provide those supplies also to the customer. But one neat thing that we have is in an effort to get more visibility out there for over-the-air broadcast, we launched a really cool antenna. It's called our Flat Antenna. It's a $10 indoor flat antenna. $10 free shipping. And the thing is amazing.
And they work pretty good.
I've
tried those before. Yeah, if you have a signal and you can rotate that thing and it's not these big wieldy rabbit ears swinging around and poking people's eyes out and having foil hanging off of it, it works really good.
Yeah, so we did that. There's other products on the market that are similar to it. So what we did is we brought all of those into our lab, and we did some testing on all of them, and we said we want to be equivalent on the same board, if not better. If we can be better for that price, we want to be better. And actually, in a lot of scenarios, on some frequencies, we are better. But all across the board, we're at least equal to the major named competitors out there for that same product. And they're going for $50, $60. We're $10. But we're doing that. I mean, you got to think, how much money are we making off selling an antenna for $10 and giving away free? It's not about that. It's about teaching people that they can get over-the-air broadcast for free.
Very good. Hey, we have a caller. Would you like to take a call there, Joe?
Sure.
Oh, great. Area code 207. Welcome to Satellite Nation. Do you have a question for Joe?
Yeah. Good evening. This is Dick up in the Great White North again. I have a question on OTA. I have a situation here where we have very strong signals, OTA, from several stations coming out of Portland, Maine, but we're nestled in an area with many, I'd say 75 to 100 foot tall trees, and what happens is we have severe multipath, and I figured out it's coming off the trees themselves. So what happens is if the wind isn't blowing, we have really good OTA on multiple channels. We have very strong signals. But what I'm interested in is there such a thing as a diversity receiver for OTA on the UHF channels? I'll leave that to the channel master expert there if he knows there is such a thing.
So there is, and it's called a chainsaw. You can cut down those trees. No, I'm just joking. that's the best way. But to be honest, we we've looked into a lot of different things, and trust me, we hear multipath issues every day. But today we haven't, and that's us, we haven't found anything on the market that really does a good job at it. So, and just trust me, if there was something that worked well and we was proven and tested, we would definitely want that in our device. But
and I can comment to that, Joe, also, is that as you do software changes, as you incorporate different tuners, we've seen a dramatic change in the early day tuners and the early software processing than what we see now. And so, Dick, if you're working maybe with an older tuner, you may find that a newer device may operate completely different than the experience that you have right now.
Correct. That's absolutely right. And you can go from one tuner to the next and built in the same year, last year, and one could still have much better performance over the other because it's give and take. It may be better on the multipath side of it, but then you're compensating someplace else.
All right. Well, I have like four Samsungs here of different vintages, so we'll give that a try and see between the four TVs, and I think they're all about a year apart, and see if I can see any difference. But thank you.
And then
it's good.
And then also, Dick. Yeah, also, Dick. You know, your feed lines. A lot of things. If you don't have good isolation between your feed lines and use a good distribution amp, you can cause a lot of problems just in the feed lines running between the TVs. And you mentioned the tuners and the TV. In my experience, and maybe you guys can comment on this, I have often found that the tuners and TVs are not really built for television over the air reception. These TVs are more designed to be hooked up to cable and to DVD player, satellite. Yes, exactly. And so you might have a completely different experience with a standalone receiver box or like the DVR Plus that we were talking about.
Correct.
Okay.
And I'm glad you brought
that
up. That's a good point on the transmission lines and the whole distribution. Everything comes into play.
Thank you, Dick, for calling.
Okay,
really,
thank you very much. I know we have very high signal strength here on some of the local channels. It's just that whenever the wind blows and the trees sway, we lose the signal, breaks up so bad, it becomes unwatchable. So, okay, thank
but remember,
you. Good night.
But remember, in the digital world, it's kind of an additive thing. So you could have a really good signal, but the moment you start introducing some errors, you know, every error down the line compounds. So definitely.
Yeah.
Get that chainsaw out. We'll be up there, and we'll roast marshmallows with you.
we're talking about 10 acres of trees. That'd be a lot of chainsaw activity.
And I'll bring the
big
bag, the mega-sized marshmallows. I'll bring those.
Right.
Thanks, Dick.
Good night. Bye.
Hey, Joe, it's Scott. Another question, and this has been asked me a lot by Satellite Guys members. They live in areas where the over-the-air broadcasters are located all around them, and they want to cut the cord, but they don't know of a DVR that works that can control the antenna, so it rotates the antenna. You guys have any plans to create a box that will rotate the antenna on the roof?
No, that's a pretty difficult thing. At this point, we don't. We try to work as best as we could in those scenarios where we know they're pulling in from different markets, but we do make an antenna rotator. We've had that product for years, and so it's a very popular product. The downside to that, though, is the DVR. You're absolutely right. If you want to use it with a DVR, you're going to have to rescan channels every time. You can manually add channels in, but it's still not a good experience. So at this point, no plans for that. The only thing we have is what you can do is get our rotator and then actually manually scan in channels from other markets.
I think it'd be kind of neat if you can make a DVR with the antenna rotator control unit built right into the DVR, so when you're tuning to the NBC, which is to the west, it automatically moves the antenna to the west, and then when you're watching CBS, it turns it to the south, and you don't need to do anything. That'd be kind of cool to see.
Quite interesting. Yeah. There was a protocol developed, but it was not embraced. It used, unfortunately, I think, like a CAT-type cable. And,
yep. Called Smart Antenna.
Yeah, it was a dog, and I played around with a couple of those samples, and I thought, boy, you have to recreate everything. And then we had worked on some other protocols that used the DISEC commands to control a motor, and that worked pretty well. But once again, you have to get that industry-wide endorsement. Otherwise, you're going to have one set-top box working with one rotor, and you know the economics just won't be there.
Exactly. Not to mention, for the mainstream consumers, how can everybody install that?
Yeah, yeah. Just operating a rotor, and I remember my grandma's house having the round dial with the little motor that moved it around, mm-hmm. and she had masking tape with channel numbers written on it all around 360 degrees. But you're
well,
right,
I guess
Scott.
The ideal solution now would be to have them put an antenna master antenna for each channel they want to pick up on the roof, and then get a separate DVR plus and for each channel they want to pick up, and then it's no problem.
I think I felt Joe smiling on that.
Well, thank you for the feedback. We'll add it. I'll pass it on to our developer, and we'll see what we can do there.
All right. You guys have a good
day. Definitely. Thanks for calling in, Scott. You know, I just want to compliment, you've gone through a lot of changes through the years, starting in 1949. There were some tough times. But, one thing that just continually carries forward is the name association of Channel Master with quality equipment. So I really just got to say kudos to you for everything that you put out there that you test and that you want to, you think about the experience before you release it, and kudos to you.
I appreciate that. We wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, Michael, what else do you have?
I think that we've about hounded to death.
Well, we have about one
dinner here, guys.
There we go. We have about 1 minute remaining. So, I just want to thank you and your company for your attention to those of us who are a little geeky, but, for making sure that the mainstream people know that there are these over-the-air channels available. They're free. And then giving us the electronic program guide, because I think that is the number one thing that's who wants to cut that cord or watch local. So thank you so much.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for having me on the show.
All right. Well, this evening we've been talking with Joe Mingochea, Executive Vice President at Channel Master. So we just want to thank you for being on the show this evening, and hopefully we can have you on again and hear about maybe some of the new products as you introduce them and some of the new ideas. So thank you so much, Joe.
Absolutely. And listeners, please feel free to go to our website, www.channelmaster.com, and look out for our announcement in April when we announce those linear channels that we'll be deploying.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much, Joe. What do you got there, Michael, to put a wrap on things?
Tune in next week for the season finale, season 2.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Catch you next week, Satellite Nation.
Thanks to all that tuned in. Guys, Michael and Brian next Wednesday for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. And don't forget to like our page at facebook.com/SatelliteNationRadio. Until next week, good night.